Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Giuliotti here on another awesome Sunday night, and this is the Gift of Grace, where we read and teach God's Word, and we proclaim the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. So I hope you've had an awesome week. Today we're going to take a passage from the book of Acts, Acts chapter 8, and if you've never read through the book of Acts, if you've never studied it in detail, I really highly recommend that you do that. It's called the Acts of the Apostles. Some people have suggested it should have been named Acts of the Holy Spirit, but it's called the Acts of the Apostles, commonly just called Acts, and it's A-C-T-S, not A-X, but everybody always says Acts, but it's Acts. And we're going to take a passage from Chapter 8. There's a couple of really important points here, a lot of important information below the surface of it that I want to get to. Now, of course, there's probably more than a couple. There's probably a lot, but we'll see. We'll try to do it in one sitting, but I can never guarantee that. So in Chapter 8, to put it in perspective, we know that Pentecost, of course, is in Acts chapter 2. And then Stephen is martyred. The deacons are chosen. And then Saul of Tarsus, St. Paul, is going to come to faith in the Messiah in chapter 9. So this is just before that happens. And we encounter a foreigner, an Ethiopian, and we encounter Philip. This is generally thought to be Philip the deacon, not Philip the apostle, but I'm not really sure how that was arrived at, but whichever one of them it was makes the point. So I'm going to read a passage first from Acts chapter 8, verse 26. I'll give you a second to click on it or flip to it. So at this point, the church is growing, but is being persecuted very violently, very aggressively by Saul of Tarsus, and of course the other members of the Sanhedrin and the Pharisees. They look at this as a false movement, that these were people who were following a false Messiah, and that Messianic prophecies had not been met by Yeshua of Nazareth. In Acts chapter 8, verse 26, "Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, 'Arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza.'" This is desert. "So he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all of her treasury, and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning, and sitting in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, 'Go near and overtake his chariot.' So Philip ran to him, and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah, and said, 'Do you understand what you are reading?' And he said, 'How can I, unless someone guides me?' And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. The place in the scripture which he read was this: 'He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away. And who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth.' So the eunuch answered Philip and said, 'I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this, of himself or of some other man?' Then Philip opened his mouth and, beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. Now as they went down the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, 'See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?' Then Philip said, 'If you believe with all your heart, you may.' And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. Now when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, so that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. Kind of a long passage, but nevertheless, a tremendously important amount of information here. So here we have Philip, who is given a word. Now, when the Bible says angel of the Lord, as you probably know, sometimes it is actually an angel in the sense of angels that we know, like Michael and Gabriel and so forth. Sometimes, especially in the Old Testament, angel of the Lord means the Lord, all capital letters, himself, in some form, some manifestation, sometimes in a human level, sometimes only at a verbal letter, a level. But this is the Lord speaking to Philip. This is a word from the Holy Spirit. And he encounters this Ethiopian, who most people believe was responsible for bringing the news of the gospel to Ethiopia. In fact, David in Psalm 68:31 prophesies this, that Ethiopia will come to the faith. And so Philip's directed to the road where this man is in a chariot. And he's directed to the place where he's going to meet up with him. This is right after, as I mentioned, this is not long after Pentecost. This is a time of evangelization is going on. Samaria has been evangelized. Peter and John expressed surprise that the Samaritans were coming to Jesus. But Philip is led to this road, and it goes. The text goes out of its way to point out that this was a desert. This was not a very hospitable place to be. And this now is another example of the call of the gospel going out to Gentiles, which was predicted through the Old Testament, through the prophets, especially the prophet Isaiah. But here is this Gentile. Philip immediately obeys the word that he gets and goes to the road. He doesn't question. He doesn't think about it. He doesn't go and pray about it for 2 weeks and then decide to do it. He immediately obeys and doesn't question the word. So this Ethiopian man, who's described as the Ethiopian eunuch, he's always known as that, this is an important man. He has charge of all of the queen's treasury. It tells us that the queen of Ethiopia was Candace, and she put this man in charge of all of her treasury. The queen thought very highly of him. This is the queen of the south, as Jesus had talked about before. She's the successor of the queen of Sheba. But if you remember the gospel tract where Jesus says this adulterous generation wants a sign, and the only sign they're going to get is the sign of Jonah the prophet, and he says that at their judgment, the men of Nineveh will rise up and judge them. And he says the queen of the south will rise up and judge them. Because even though these people were all Gentiles, they believed the word of the prophet. The people of Nineveh believed the word of Jonah and they repented. The people in Ethiopia accepted the testimony of this man who came back there with the good news of the gospel. Now, there were also Jews in Ethiopia. There had been since Solomon's time. Because when the Queen of Sheba went to Jerusalem, as Jesus pointed out that She went to see the beauty of the temple and learn the wisdom of Solomon. She also spent some time with Solomon and gave birth to a son. And he went back to Ethiopia and clearly told everyone that Solomon was his father and that a community of Jews had grown up in Ethiopia. So we don't know if this man, this Ethiopian eunuch, we don't know if he was one of these Jews, because it does say that he was in Jerusalem to worship. The other possibility is what the Jewish people called a righteous Gentile. There are examples of them in the Old Testament and New Testament. Cornelius would be one. The Roman centurion would be one. And these were Gentiles who had really given up their ridiculous notion of all their hundreds of gods and began to understand that the God of Israel was the true God and worshiped him in some manner. So it's possible he was one of them, possible he was an Ethiopian Jew, but he was in Jerusalem worshiping and was on his way back. And he's sitting in his chariot reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Holy Spirit leads Philip to the chariot. Now, this is an amazing thing when you think about it. The Holy Spirit sends one man, who is Philip, to talk to one man, who is this Ethiopian. And one man is impacted by the news of the gospel, and the gospel spreads to another country through the word and the testimony of one man. Of one man. He had been in Jerusalem and had worshiped, and we don't know if he was thinking about the prophet Isaiah, if he had heard something in the city that made him think about this, and he decided to read it. We don't know exactly, but it was arranged by the Holy Spirit that he would be reading from Isaiah 53 when Philip would be directed to his chariot. And it was prophesied, of course, if this man was a Gentile, as I mentioned earlier, it was prophesied by Isaiah in numerous passages. We don't have time to go through them all, but most of the chapters, like in the 50s and the 60s of Isaiah, especially 65, say that Gentiles are going to be in the kingdom. They're going to come to the Jewish Messiah. They're going to understand the gospel. So here's this Ethiopian reading aloud, and he's obviously thinking. He doesn't understand the passage. Now, it's interesting because, as you may or may not know, Isaiah 52 and 53 is the only passage of Scripture that's never read in the synagogues. And if you ask your Jewish friends, they will tell you that that is true. Most cannot give a reason. Most of the teachers, rabbis, and so forth, will say that the reason they don't read it is that no one understands it completely. And when I talk to my Jewish friends about this, I would say, well, I can explain it to you. And then they would get either angry or start laughing or just roll their eyes and walk away. But it's obviously the passage about the suffering servant. If you go to my YouTube channel, which is One in Messiah, Gift of Grace Ministries. One in Messiah, Gift of Grace Ministries. I recently posted two video teachings from Isaiah 53, if you want to check that out. So this man is reading out loud, and he's thinking about it. And this is a great way to begin a discussion with someone, where they don't understand something. So Philip comes right out and asks him, do you understand this? He's not using this as a reproach or a criticism. He doesn't imply, well, what's the matter with you? Why don't you get this? I had the opportunity, I should mention briefly that debating this passage with an ultra-Orthodox rabbi at the Western Wall, and it was really quite amazing. I'll maybe talk about that some other time. But Philip asked him, do you understand what this means? And the Ethiopian admits he doesn't understand it. He says, well, how can I understand this if no one explains it to me? Which this is very interesting, too, because he's not afraid to ask for help. He doesn't even know who this man is, Philip. He doesn't know who Philip is. Philip doesn't know who the Ethiopian guy is. But the Ethiopian was reading and thinking and is not afraid to say, well, I don't quite get this. I need somebody to explain this to me. And I teach a lot of Bible studies all over the place in all different settings. And one of the most common things I hear is something like this. Well, we read it, but we don't understand what it means. Somebody has to explain it to us. So it's very common. I usually tell people that since the Holy Spirit is the author of it, since he breathed it out, and I refer you to 2 Timothy 3:16, you can ask him for help, and he will explain to you if you have the patience to pray and think and reflect. But anyway, it is good that this man admits he doesn't understand what he's been reading. And he's reading from Isaiah 53. And of course, this again shows the importance of the Old Testament, the Tanakh. So many churches don't want to know about the Old Testament, don't want to know about those foundations that, of course, is the underpinning of everything. And if you don't understand Torah, if you don't understand the prophets, you can't understand Jesus. You can't understand how he came, why he came, how he did what he did, why he did what he did, and what that means to everyone, including us Gentiles. So studying the Old Testament is very important. And here's a passage from the prophet Isaiah in chapter 53. It's commonly called the suffering servant. Now, in Ethiopia, most of the Jews there used the Greek Old Testament called the Septuagint. I don't want to get into too much of that, but when Alexander the Great conquered that whole area, he commissioned some people to write the Old Testament in Greek, and it was referred to as the Septuagint. So the wording might have been a little bit different, but because Ethiopia is very near Egypt, this is most likely what they had. This was also called the Alexandrian canon of the Tanakh, but that's another story. So, of course, this passage is about the Messiah being led to the slaughter, being led to the sacrifice, which is the basis of salvation. And it talks about how he's cut off. Human justice cuts him off. He's cut off from the earth. You know, Isaiah goes on to say he's given a tomb among wicked people. He uses the tomb of a rich man, which, of course, was Joseph of Arimathea. I strongly suggest you go look at those YouTube videos. Go to One in Messiah, Gift of Grace Ministries, and watch the two teachings on Isaiah 53. But the question here is, who is the writer talking about? Who is Isaiah talking about? This is what he wants to know. He doesn't want a deep explanation in theology. He asks a very fundamental question. Who was he talking about? And it says that Philip preaches Jesus to him. He begins at this scripture and preaches how Messiah had to come, how he had to suffer, how he had to be the perfect, unblemished sacrifice, and pointed to how this passage, which was written 700 and some years before the cross, was fulfilled by Jesus at the cross. And so this is, you could call it, the new evangelization. Here is Philip encountering a foreigner and preaching the gospel to him. So we don't know if this man, this Ethiopian, had any prior knowledge of this. Had he heard anything about this in the past? Had he heard anything about this while he was in Jerusalem? Because after all, there was a lot of talk in Jerusalem. There was a lot of upheaval because people were coming to faith in Jesus, Yeshua, as the Messiah, and they were being criticized by the Pharisees. The Sanhedrin was taking them in and trying them. You know, Saul of Tarsus had orders from the high priest to round these people up, even the ones that were in Damascus, as it applies to Paul. But so we don't know if he heard about this, but the way Philip presented the gospel, this really solidified everything in his mind. He went from not understanding what this passage was about to understanding that the man who's mentioned in this passage, which describes someone just being physically brutalized and then dying and then being buried, and the reason that that happens, and again paraphrasing from Isaiah 53, is that he had our iniquities on him. He was crushed for our iniquities. He died for our transgressions. He had to suffer because of what people had done in terms of breaking the covenant, in terms of breaking the law. And so suddenly, with Philip's explanation and, of course, the Holy Spirit acting on him, the Ethiopian believes. He believes this. He suddenly understands that this passage of Scripture he had been struggling with was fulfilled by the Messiah. And as Philip spoke to him about this, he probably made all the connections, as I call them, between so many other passages in the Old Testament and what happened to Jesus. It's really quite remarkable. And as with every evangelization, this would have been the new evangelization of the day, of course. The Holy Spirit acts on the person who is hearing the word and convicts them. You know, Jesus said, when the other paraclete comes, he'll convict the world of sin. He'll guide you in all truth. He'll guard the truth, and he'll testify of me. He won't testify of himself. He'll testify of me. So whether it's this Ethiopian or the people that Peter and Paul and all those other men would encounter later, when they began to evangelize people, the Holy Spirit would act on the person and say, what he's telling you is true. This is the truth of the gospel. This is the truth that comes from all of the time and all of the scripture written while we were waiting for the Messiah to come. And Jesus is the fulfillment. It all points to him, as he says in John 5:39. And all this came together in this Ethiopian's mind, and he believed. And he turns to Philip and says, hey, I want to be baptized. So he apparently knew about baptism, or we don't know if the Holy Spirit put that in his mind, but he says to Philip, I want to be baptized. Pretty remarkable. And Philip says, well, that's okay. That's great as long as you believe these things. And he says, to be baptized, you have to believe them deeply and wholeheartedly. Well, the Ethiopian's excited. He's got this new faith. He believes it wholeheartedly, and he wants to go to the next step. He makes a profession of faith, And Philip baptizes him in some little body of water or some creek or some pond or whatever it is that was by the side of the road. So what a great example of the impact of a person evangelizing and the Holy Spirit acting on the listener to convict him that this was truth. And even to take him to the next step, which was baptism. Now, he presumably went back to Ethiopia and began to testify of these things. And this is how the church started to grow in Ethiopia. Oh, I know the music's been playing. Well, thanks for listening. And tune in again next week to The Gift of Grace, where we'll read and teach God's word and proclaim the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. Have an awesome week.